All right. We have a team starting off our music today. David Fathead Newman, that's what he was called. He didn't mind it one bit. It was a term of endearment. And James Clay, David Fathead Newman is on tenor and alto sax. James Clay on tenor sax and flute. Wynton Kelly on piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Art Taylor on drums. This, by the way, was recorded in 1960. Oh, Lord, I'm old. All of a sudden, saying that I'm really old. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other just yesterday. Today, however, it is Free Your Mind Friday. What is that? I hear some people saying. Well, it means we suspend our regular program, a regular program format, I should say, and the program becomes an open forum for you to say what's on your mind. No cussing and carrying on, please, but say what's on your mind. Get it said. You have something important to say. You have an opinion you'd like to express. This is where you do it. And you do it freely. It's all listener, literally listener radio. All right. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. This is the way you get to say what you want. You don't have to conform to the program in progress. You don't have to follow the script. You are speaking your mind. And hopefully, you still have a mind. The way things are going, we have to double check each other every day. Do I still have my mind? Okay, yes. I think I could still do a program today. Henry from Chicago starts us off. Hey, Henry, how you doing?
All right, how's it going by you, Eutrice?
Okay, thank you.
All
What's
right.
what are you freeing your mind of today?
Well, I actually wanted to, kind of like continue the conversation we had yesterday on marriage, because you sound much clearer now today, and I can understand what you're saying.
Oh, thank you. And the engineer would be happy to hear that because he was so upset about the quality of sound yesterday.
And I remember you was blaming my phone and me being in Chicago for the problem. It wasn't just me.
It's an old thing. When all else fails, blame your old phone and blame Chicago. You'll feel better.
Yeah, so I didn't understand. Well, what was the question that you were asking me yesterday? Or if you just want to throw out another question about marriage, because I think that's a very important topic, and I know, we don't talk about it much, particularly on your show, but I think it's important, and I think there was a lot of good. There was some interesting analysis yesterday from callers that called in yesterday afterwards. And I think Lincoln had mentioned about, when you asked the question about the downward trend of marriages, and he was talking about self-destruction, which I thought was pretty interesting. But there was another call, and I can't remember who it was, that was talking about, marriage. In a successful marriage, you have to be in some way or another selfless. And you have to be in a position where there's something of yourself that you have to give. But unfortunately, in this society, of me, 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 and hard individualism or rugged individualism, we're not growing up with that. We're not getting that. And this is why, marriages kind of, fall by the wayside. And the nature of relationships, that we have now is all transactional. You know, what are you going to do for me, or what am I going to do for you? And I believe it was, she's a caller that calls normally. I believe she's Puerto Rican.
That's probably Ali you're talking about.
Yes. So she called about when she was talking about when she married her husband, and her husband was making, you know, real good money. And then, you know, he decided that, you know, the job wasn't conducive to their marriage. So he decided to take another job and allowed her to kind of like pick up on a lot of things, which she was okay with. But, you know, the mentality of people nowadays is not like that. And, you know, I see, you know, like I go on, you know, sometimes I talk to women, I see women on TV or on the internet. And when, you know, I hear about single women who are looking to be in relationships or looking to be married, you know, they ask the person, well, what do you want in a man? And it's all materialistic, how much he makes, you know, what type of degree he has, and nothing about character or integrity. And then on the other side with men, you know, you have, you know, what do you want in a woman? She has to be this shape, type of body. She has to have, you know, things that, you know, would satisfy a man sexually. And nothing about character or integrity on that end either. But this is the world we live in now. And this is why, you know, marriages are not, you know, being supported.
Well, I don't know. That has changed much from 100 years ago. It seems to me women always looked for a suitable partner, meaning someone who provides, someone who takes on the burdens, the economic burdens of the household. The woman is seen as the person taking care of the children and the hearth and the home and making good bread. So I don't know that that has changed very much. What has happened, I think, is a shaping or reshaping of the roles of people in general by media. We have come to understand ourselves as women as being powerful, and in some cases, in the extreme, more powerful than men. The men have come to see themselves as a bit feminized. It's okay to cook dinner. It's okay to take on the traditional female role. But all of it is nonsense when you really think of it. It's about a partnership that envisions raising a family and so forth. That's nothing wrong with that. But I think people have bought into many of these this propaganda about how you ought to behave, what you ought to want in life, and go get it. I don't like, I mean, my parents had an excellent marriage. My mother is very quiet, very quiet. And she stopped all arguments dead in their tracks by saying, I don't think so. And then she'd go on about her business. And that was it. And there's my father, Mr. Man with the muscles and the rah-rah-rah-rah-rah. And he just wouldn't say another word. Claude, I don't think so. Let the children go to sleep. Boom. That's the law. So it isn't. In the end, it comes down to what it is you work out as your contract. What is your contract going to be with your mate? And how will you exercise your power within the contract? How will your partner exercise power within the contract? And whether you have it together that way, whether you can see beyond who makes much money, who doesn't make much money, and so forth. These are trivial matters.
But that seems to be the dominant conversation,
though. Very quiet person, very quiet, didn't make a fuss, and she would end no matter what the conversation was, no matter what the hoopla was about, she would just end it and say, okay, that is enough time, go to bed. That's the end. That's the end of everything.
But you, Trees, that seems to be the dominant conversation. It's just all about economics, and it's important. But at the same time, is that all you're worried about? Is that all you're talking about? You're not talking about anything else. And you look at the statistics as well, and you know one of the top three reasons why marriages fail is economics. They can't agree on, you know, what
I think marriages fail because they're not suited for each other, and they don't try to get that out of the way first thing to find out if they're suited for each other. Then they wait until the ring is on the finger and the organist is playing da 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 and all that, and then they get home and then they realize, I don't really like this guy, or the guy says, I don't really like this woman.
And I understand that, but this is what the data's saying.
Really?
And that's what the data's saying. So I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's just basically, you know, maybe they just didn't like each other in the first place. But when they do these surveys, you know, one of the top two reasons is economics.
Well, it's economics because these are the times we live in. Everybody's concerned about money, including people who have money.
Yep.
So the talk, the concern, the obsession is about money. And if you don't have money, it naturally means you're not going to make it, whether you're married or not. Mm-hmm. So we are shaped by different influences. And because we probably start off on the wrong foot by not prioritizing what is important to us in a relationship with another person, we get wafted into, you know, the millions of people who are thinking like the teeming hordes. We're all thinking about money. And so the whole society becomes corrupted that way. And it takes a long time, if it ever happens, for people to realize, you know, we're really screwed up by not paying attention to what was really important in the first place. Thanks for calling, Henry. Good to hear from you. Thanks. From Florida, Ray, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you, Trace.
Good afternoon.
I have some questions for Brother David from Brooklyn. Every time he's on the show, he repeats the same tired tirade against you at the U.S., white supremacy, hatred towards the successful, and so on.
All right, let me stop you right there. This show is not about you or anybody attacking somebody else. If he were on the line, you can go at him, but he's not on the line. And I don't like the idea of talking or facilitating attacks on people.
So does that mean this is the end of the conversation?
Pretty much, yes.
That's unfortunate because I am interested in learning some of his other views.
Well, you'll have to do that at a time when he is available. He's on air and he's listening to what you say and so forth. But in any event, that's dull. That's very dull programming.
He might be listening right now.
He might very well be. I'm pretty sure he's listening right now. But I personally don't find it to be good programming. And number two, why should you have the unique privilege of all listeners? Why should you be the one to have the privilege of going one-on-one with somebody? That's a cheap gimmick, it seems to me. I don't like cheap gimmicks.
That was not the intention on my part, believe me. I just wanted to explore.
I believe you. But
more
it
of his,
comes
his
across
attitude.
That way, and I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm saying, in general, it resonates that way. When people have disagreements with each other, they'll have to find a way to resolve it. There may be ways that I could help, but I am not in that business. I'm in the business of facilitating discussion.
Can you set up a two-way conversation between your listeners, him and me?
No, because I'm going to be doing your bidding. I don't do people's bidding.
This is supposed to be free your mind.
Yes, it's about free your mind, but don't employ me or attempt to employ me as a, some kind of an interlocutor so that you could free your mind. That's not my job, and I won't do it.
Well, I'm sure others would have the same question.
It's very important for you, because you clearly have some issues, develop your point of view, and you have the space right here. It is free your mind. Take one fragment of the overall topic and say, I want to talk about A, B, C, D, and E. John, Fred, or Mary said so and so and so, and I disagree with that, and here's why. That's perfect for programming. But it is no more attractive than hearing a husband and wife quarrel with each other. It doesn't get us anywhere.
Well, I imagine some of your other listeners are curious about the same things that I'm interested curious about.
Yeah, but let me be the determinant of that. Let me determine that, not you.
Well, how can you determine that?
You imagine all kinds of things that facilitate your desire to have a one-on-one with another guest. And I'm telling you, it is boring. It's a boring concept, except if you had listened to something that David said and disagreed with it, I mean, vehemently disagreed with it, sure, I think that would be an interesting position to hear. What is your position? What is it based on? And you don't need to have him there to excoriate. You don't need it. You have a difference of opinion. You're quite capable of saying, on such and such a date, David, who popularly presents his points of view on this program, said A, B, C, D, and E. Here is why I disagree with him. And you lay it all out. Why do you need to have a quarrel in public? I don't like quarrels in the first place. Debates are different, but this is going to be a quarrel. And I don't like the idea that you're trying to manipulate me into facilitating your plan, your plot. It won't work.
I don't have any other way of exchanging ideas directly with him. Since the only time I hear him is when he's on.
What is your point in having the opportunity? That's your plan. You will have to find a way to execute your plan. My plan is to provide the space that you can express your point of view with or without David. What's so difficult about that?
I don't know what to say. Maybe I'll just ask one really simple question. When he talks about free education for everyone...
Don't ask me to interpret David's words. I'm not in his head. I know I'm bright, but I'm not that bright.
Don't be so modest.
I can't tell you what he's thinking.
Come on. Well, that's why I'm trying to...
You have a problem, and you're fixating. You're fixating, and it's not going to do you well.
Okay.
You can have a major disagreement with what he said. I have no problem with that. But say it outright. I heard David from Brooklyn, who I otherwise admire. I admire his views. But on this one, when he said A, B, C, D, he is dead wrong in my view. And here's why. And you lay out your counter belief. It's perfectly valid.
Okay.
I don't need to stage a gladiator show here.
I was originally going to preface my comments with, are you ready for some fireworks? Now, you're saying it's going to be dull, but it really wouldn't be. My questions are very emotional, so I'm sure a lot of people.
Well, but that's your opinion. It probably is not going to be mine. That's your opinion, and that's okay. That's okay for you to have a particular opinion about the quality of your arguments and so forth. But understand what you are attempting to do and why it is offensive to me. You're asking me to use my time, my talent, and my program to facilitate your unique desire to have a kind of clash on the air. I'm not in the clash business. I don't do clashes. And if I am, I'm expecting that both sides are okay to it and that we have a subject. When you start getting personal, when you start boring into another person with the intent of totally disemboweling them, ooh, you go beyond the pale. That is not, it is not a kind thing to do. And it doesn't serve a purpose other than you feel better that you have publicly executed somebody. I'm not going to facilitate that.
Okay.
And by
the way,
just to finish off that point, I think just the same, even if that's your intent, you won't succeed, not against David. I don't think you will succeed against him, taking that tack.
Okay.
On the other hand, if you had come to the program and said, here's what I want to free my mind about. I heard David say such and such and such and such, and I tagged him to be wrong on 5 key points. Point number one, so-and-so. Point number two, and so-and-so. And go on, point number five. You are still tackling David. You're still tackling what he said. And you're doing it with credibility and with some degree of dignity. But when you want to have a massacre and you want to use this program as your forum, no, you're attacking me too, because you're saying, this is how I perceive your program. It is fit for public executions of people I disagree with. Now, the problem, of course, clearly belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to David. And it should not be your style. You can, in his absence, without David even being here, you should be able to state your case, to shore it up with the appropriate evidence, and make your point, even in his absence. You see, that's the whole issue of learning how to debate well, without getting personal, without seeking some kind of a revenge for what I don't know, and without attempting in any way to involve me. You're not that clever to involve me in your machinations. It won't work, ever.
Well, it really was not my intent to do that.
I appreciate that, and I believe that. It might not have been your intent, but that has been the consequence of it.
Okay.
So you also were thinking or evaluating what could possibly be, what could I possibly be, message could I possibly be sending by being careless about my intent?
Well, I never know how people are going to interpret my words. That's the problem with what you just said.
This is life. Nobody knows.
Yes, exactly.
How other people are going to interpret. So therefore, you exercise extreme caution to make it clear what your intention is. You're not interested in a brawl. You're not interested in eviscerating somebody publicly. You're interested in an intellectual pursuit. And I think you'll all appreciate that. But that's not where you are today. Thanks for calling. Bob from Virginia, you are on the air.
Wow. Trace, can you hear me first of all?
Yes, I can.
Okay. That was interesting.
I don't know what you mean by interesting. My mother used to say that all the time. Very interesting.
Took up 25 minutes of the show explaining to this guy he's not going to get the chance to ask his question. So, full disclosure first. I don't normally dial into the show. The only reason I can't happen to be on the show occasionally is that Gary Knowles' show runs over. And then second full disclosure is I usually don't intentionally, but frequently don't agree with you. But today is different. I think something you said hit a resonant bone, and I'd just like to agree with you and then maybe add something. So I think the major thing you said that I have to agree with is it's about what the media does to shape our world. In this particular case, you were talking about marriage. I think that last statistic I saw was 62% of this country has been divorced. People who have been married have been divorced, which means the majority of the country is 62%, and therefore that's the norm, because the norm is usually dictated by the majority, and therefore the aberration is the 48% of people who have successful marriages. And therefore, since they're the aberration, I'm sure psychologists would say we have to drug those people because they're not the norm. The norm is dictated by the majority. I wonder what your thoughts on that comment is.
Well, our norms are not generally dictated by the majority. Nobody ever takes a poll to find out whether they should be in the business of taking one position or another. Our opinions on a daily basis are informed by people with the power to force a discussion by whatever means. So we should get out of our heads that because we see something presented, it's because it is the majority view. Further to say, even if it is the majority view, what are you saying then about your attitudes toward those who are not the majority? They don't deserve to know. They don't deserve to be talked to or talked with. We have a perverted idea of not just of our power or presumed power, but how we express it, or how we believe ourselves entitled to express that power. Usually it involves denying other people the opportunity to express their power. This is one of the driving things in this program, free your mind. No matter what you believe, you could bring it here and free your mind. I'll tell you whether you're making sense or not. Or other people will respond and tell you whether you're making sense or not. But I'm not going to prevent you from presenting a point of view, even if I disagree with it. So we have a distorted view in the United States about power and rights. And we confuse the two very, very often. Whether because you have the power, you have the rights, or whether it is because you have rights, you ought to have the power. Sometimes neither of them applies. But They are. You turn on the radio or television or whatever your medium is, and there they are talking stuff that is of no interest to you. I read a case today, for example, a bunch of cases that are soon going to arise in South Florida. The question is, who owns the land under the sea? Who owns the land under the water? Well, it might be on its own a very interesting question, but it didn't escape me for a second why the question pops up now. Nobody thought about this. This wasn't an issue, but it's an issue now as the real estate industry is regathering itself. Lots of properties are being sold. People are buying property and selling property, and all this kind of craziness is going on. So now it is not even enough to buy a piece of land. They want the laws changed so that if you buy a piece of land and it happens to be, say, on a mangrove, do you have the rights to the mangrove as well? This is what drives issues. People and their specific concerns, and they have the power to compel the powers that be to make them issues, although the public has no real interest in it. I'm not interested in who has the right to own the water in a mangrove and the land under the water of a mangrove. I have no interest in that. But a lot of realtors, a lot of in the real estate industry, a lot of people buying land on the water. This is their issue. It's a big issue now in South Florida. It hasn't been for more than a century, but it is now because of the grab for land and ownership of land. And now it's ownership of what is on the land, under the water. It gets more and more ridiculous. But that's my point. We get to be concerned about the things that people in power with the power also to influence media, what their concerns are, they transfer to us. We get to be inducted into their world, if only for the purpose of appreciating how terribly wronged they are.
Would you like me to explain to you why this is such a big issue?
Why this? What I just said?
Yes.
No, I understand it very well. I know why it's a big issue.
If you don't know why it's a big issue, I don't think you expressed it, because there's something that you didn't say that makes this a bigger issue than you might think.
Yes, but I don't want to go there. I'm satisfied that I understand the issue very well.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If I own a beach, so that means I own all the water from...
Well, so we're talking about the issue anyway. Go ahead. If you own a beach...
Say I own a piece of property and it fronts on a beach. So from the road to the beach I own, would you agree to that?
I don't know if I agree to that. I would be concerned about what the previous administrations, what the previous owners agreed to as a group. It's not about you.
Okay, so Just for a second, let's assume there are two opinions. One, I own everything from the road up to the water's edge. And the other is I don't own everything from the road up to the water's edge. So let's deal with the first one first.
No, I don't want to deal with the first one first, because it has already been decided somewhere on the books which is what is giving people what they believe to be the right to argue the point.
Okay, so that's on the books in Dade County in Florida. You own everything from the road up to the water's edge.
You're still talking about something that, in my mind, has been decided.
It has not. I can explain it out to you.
What they want is to revise the law. They should at least be honest enough to say that. And they want to revise the law precisely at the point where they think land, even land on the water, has become immensely valuable. That's what it is. You can't tell me.
I don't think they want to revise it. I think they want to concretize it. There's a difference.
Well, it requires a revision just the same, doesn't it? Because something that has been determined to be law for a long time, and everybody regarded it as such, now there is this rush to change it. Well, you know, that involves the exercise of power. And the people who want this change are the ones who see themselves with the power. Oh, but thanks so much for calling today. I have to move on. Ah, look who's next. Brother David from Brooklyn.
Yes, good afternoon.
I had no idea you had such a big fan club. What's going on?
Well, good afternoon. You know, in the past, I've been very good at verbal combat, but I don't get on this program to engage in verbal combat. The point is this. I was disappointed because when the caller came in, I was very interested in finding out specifically what he had to say about what I have said in the past on the program. So he did not go there. He indicated he just didn't like what I said, but I wanted to hear what he had to say. And he never got around to the point of saying what his problem was. When I get on the air, I talk about things that affect me, and I give my analysis, and my opinions. So I'd be delighted to hear someone get on there and disagree with me. I might learn something. If not, just to get on and make an attack without saying what I have said that is incorrect, wrong, or whatever, I don't understand that. You gave a lot of time for the caller to speak, and I wanted to know specifically what he was talking about in terms of me being mistaken or wrong or whatever, and what his disagreement was. And maybe at another time I would expand on what I had said in the past and give my point of view based on my analysis and my opinion. So, you know, that's how I take it. I would love for that caller to at one time call back and tell me what I said that was definitely wrong. So that's the way I look at it.
All right. I was just marveling that you had a pretty big fan club that you didn't know anything about.
No. And I might also say that in terms of the listenership of the program, I don't always agree with everyone that comes on, but I'm not here to talk to you and go around attacking people. And, if I have something that I'm saying that is definitely correct and someone doesn't understand it and feels that I am yammering, you know, and I don't want to yammer. I don't come on the program to yammer. I think that's useless. So anyone that disagree with me, I'm very happy to hear. Maybe I learned something that I didn't know. But, you know, this was an opportunity for the caller to say what I said it was wrong, and there's a missed opportunity. Maybe in the future the caller will come back.
Yes, I hope so. Thank you, and thank you for being so gracious as well. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Professor Utrice Leeds.
It's Leed, L-E-I-D.
Okay, Leeds, okay. I sincerely hope your health continue to improve, and I would just like to thank you for let me say this. Good afternoon to all my classmates, and I appreciate your letting me attend this class free of tuition. And I would just like to make a brief comment about you. You didn't give us a bibliography nor a syllabus, but I found out that the syllabus is in your mind and the bibliography is in our mind. And one last question, and I'll let someone else talk. What do my grade look like so far this semester?
Well, I think you're doing well and improving. And we all have to work at organizing our thoughts. We have, myself included, and perhaps myself especially, I have to organize my thinking, because when somebody is listening to you and when you're talking to somebody, you want to be methodical about the way you transmit the information that you wish to transmit to that person, or to more than one person, of course. So you want to develop a method or methodology of presenting your thoughts publicly. I've talked about that, and that's why we have Free Your Mind Friday. I've said it before. This is also to encourage people to perfect the art of communicating your thoughts, and to do it as precisely as possible so that you get to say what it is you intended to say. The person gets to appreciate, you know, that you're moving toward a target and they can follow you. And you get better and better at expressing a thought or a view, even if people disagree. It don't pay any attention to that. If people agree or disagree, pay attention to whether you are being efficient in communicating exactly what it is you want to say. That's the ultimate goal of Free Your Mind Friday.
Okay, just one last comment. I've learned a great deal from Professor David from Brooklyn. Thank you very much, and have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you. You too.
You're welcome.
Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved. And good afternoon to the PRN family. I got a lot of things I'd like to say, but I'm not a good articulator like Brother Henry or Sister Patricia.
Don't tell me. Wait a minute. Let me stop you right there. Don't tell me what you're not.
Okay. I'm going to try. Listen. Last Friday, Sister Gwen called, it was so touching and moving. I thought about the program last week, and I said, "Is there a way that we could include that you could include Patricia, Brother Henry, David, you know, these people in your program some way, because it sounded more real to me. Not real, more people could, what's the word I'm looking for? It was just touching, it just the way she related, because I guess it was a personal thing, you know, and I just thought that's one thought, you know. Just like many years ago, you used to include, you used to have two people talking to each other, you know. It made it shorter. Yes.
I didn't want to take the chance with my system, which conked out on me yesterday.
I was listening yesterday, and we waited. And so they went. She went.
So I have to work on some other things, which is would be to get a better system. I've had the phone people out here. They've looked at the towers. All kinds of stuff they've done. And it is still not functioning up to par. But I talked to the engineer at length yesterday, and we have a plan. So we will improve very shortly. Without having to say prayers before each program. Lord, please help us finish the way we start. Okay.
Now I'm having a big problem with the iron myself because they change the system so often and trying to share the program with, because I share the program with everybody I know in my contact. You know, because that's the way I've grown. And Gary and your program has been so excellent for the last couple of weeks, especially on the third. I had a big problem. I went to about four, five, six different tech giants. And they could.
But
they could,
I want you to appreciate, Willie, that there's only so much that you can do. I have no control over the towers that surround my building. And
I'm not talking.
The company has been here for how many times they have been here, and they can't seem to get it to work the way it's supposed to work. I do know when I talk with the engineers that sometimes they have the same problems in New York too. I'm in Florida. So we have to find a system that works dependably all the time.
What I'm talking about, I've always been sharing the programs from PRN. But what I'm saying about they're making some change in the PRN system where I have to go to other people to be able to do it. And sometimes they can't even do it. I never had that kind of problem before. So it's not from your end. It's a PRN. You know, they're trying to explain.
What I'm saying is, it's what connects PRN in New York to me in Florida. It's the same system. So we can't see it as two separate systems. We have to figure out what works for all of the PRN stations and to avoid this this mishigas. we have to work on it, and we're working. You know, they're working very hard to figure out to pinpoint what exactly is causing the problem. Miles of wires have been unwired and rewired, and we still get the same unexpected interruption. So we have to take a look at that. And they are doing that. Don't ask me to fix it. That is not what I do. I can't do it.
Well, I'm not asking you. Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, like it's getting complicated to do what I used to do very easily. But I guess they're updating the system and they're making it more complicated for us to do. That's all I'm saying. I just have to learn how to do it because for me, it's important. It's very, very important to download the program so I could always share it and have it for myself. So whenever I'm speaking on certain subjects, I could send it to somebody. You see what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's all I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I'd like to ask you, last weekend I could hardly I didn't rest one bit because of this brother. His name is DMX. He passed away, and I don't know much about him. But anyway, what really really, really upset me was that at his eulogy, Minister Farrakhan made a speech for it. And they're one of the brothers that started FUBU, For Us, By Us. Now, yes. He said, bro, you made a nice speech. And he put it up on his account, Facebook or whatever, Twitter, whatever. And somebody, somewhere, I told him, you cannot. And this brother is worth over $300 million. And he apologized for just saying, well, brother, nice speech. They made him apologize for it. And I'm saying to my God, how do you allow anyone to tell you who you cannot speak to? And give someone that much control over you, you trees. It happens
every single day. So it's not that it is an unusual story. It happens every single day.
Listen, you remember when you were assaulted and your life was threatened in WBI. I was there every night because I've made a conscious decision that an attack on you, the way I see it, this is my opinion. I don't want anybody calling, just talking about me like David. If they attack an attack on you or the minister, is an attack on all black people with any sense or dignity, in my judgment. That's where, and I will defend and protect y'all too with my life. Well, I don't have to worry about
that. But that's your thinking. That is not everybody's thinking.
I understand that. But, okay. You know, in order, I think, your cheese, we should not allow anyone to have that kind of control and power. You know what I'm saying? No.
No, but I disagree. What are you going to do? You're going to become an international cop? You can't control these things. They happen. They are a part, unfortunately, of the world we're living in. And there's only so much you can do. You exercise caution when you can, and in whatever way you can. But life has to go on. And you can't make rules and say, well, this is the rule today. The world doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So you, as an individual, anyone has to take as much care to protect themselves as possible. That's all. And you move on with your life. Even if people are threatening you, you have to move on with your life.
Well, I don't have a problem with you. I get threatened all the time because I listen to VI and PRN, and the truth of what I learned, I share with other people. So I get threatened every day. So that's not my concern. It's when they threaten those who don't deserve, who are people who stand, people with integrity, people who speak truth. I'm offended.
Yes,
by
but
that.
your job, even though you may do it, it is not required of you to do it. That is not your job. Your job is to live as long as possible to irritate as many people as possible.
Yes.
That's your job. You can't assign yourself a task so impossible that it can't be done, no matter how much you desire to do it. It cannot be done. There's going to be some way, somehow, somewhere, where anybody who's opportunistic in nature and wants to do some harm to somebody, they'll find a way to do it. You pray, you act sensibly, you do what you can, but you don't become paralyzed with fear. You keep moving. And that's, I think, the better way to use your energy. Do something on the affirmative side, as opposed to being gripped by fear and loathing. It will not help you. It will not help you at all.
I'm not saying that I'm in fear.
I'm sorry?
Just that I'm not saying that I'm in fear, but just like any other group, if you attack them, they stand up for their own
people. Yes, but I don't get into the them and us kind of thing. I used to be bothered by it until I realized that the most important thing you could do is your best, your very best at whatever. Do your very best.
That's correct.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when somebody could find a reason to assassinate Mohandas Gandhi, well, you don't need to ask if there's a sane bone in his body. People find all kinds of rationalizations for what they want to do, evil or good. But we're out of time, Willie, I'm sorry to say. I have to bring the curtain down. Thanks for calling in and contributing. Thank you all for calling in and contributing today. It's a weekend, so surround yourselves with people who bring good things to your life, to amplify your life, to extend your life, to make your life a little fuller, and to give you the impetus to keep going. And we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.